This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This will be a treat, Teak. We haven't seen him since the Super Bowl when we had him on our set. And that is the former commissioner of the NFL, the great Paul Tagliabue, who was in the post from 1989 through 2006. And inducted into the Hall of Fame. I mean, he's had an incredible career and one of the good people around the game for sure. Kamish, welcome back. How you been?
I've been fine. Been very good. How about you?
Very well. Thank you.
Yeah, we've been very good, Kamish. Thanks for hopping on with us today. I know that you sit on the board of Governors of Rise, and we'll get to that in a second. But, you know, just getting to the coronavirus impact that's been on this world, but particularly in sports, I think there is a leadership role that sports has played because it's so visible and people pay so much attention to it. What should Commissioner Goodell and Adam Silver and the other commissioners of the other leagues, how should they be handling this? Because I think a lot of our country is going to take their cues from them. They're the leaders, just like you used to be.
Well, I can't speak for them, but I think what they've been doing has been spot on based on what I've seen. I mean, very good. They've been focusing on the health issues and the difficulty of how to deal with crowds of people, which all the data shows that that's a big challenge with this particular virus. You know, to me, it's similar to what they're doing at the universities. I was chairman of the board at Georgetown for 6 years and on the board for 12. I've been talking to some of the people over there. It's a big challenge, just with 6,000 students, to bring them back to a campus and have them have meals together, play sports together, and go to class together. So when you're talking about 60,000 people coming into a stadium, it's a very big challenge. I think the commissioners have been doing a fine job in trying to deal with it effectively.
Yeah, and I know that you know this from experience. When you're talking about a professional sport, it's not just what you say goes, because so much of professional sports are collectively bargained with the players. You know, how challenging is it going to be for, say, baseball, because we're starting to see this come to a head now with the revenue sharing and other issues that are somewhat unrelated to the virus, even though the virus is front and center. How difficult is it to get all parties on the same page to make something that we all want happen?
Well, that's the challenge, you know, whether it's for the commissioner or the head of the Players Association or the, you know, the owners of the player reps. It's you got a lot of constituents in sports. In many collective bargaining situations, there's one or two employers. Here you got 32 different employers in a sense in football. And you know, sometimes what's good for one group is terrible for another group. Back in 93 when we got the deal done, we were raising the player costs of some really good teams like the Raiders and the Steelers, and lowering the ability of other teams to continue paying the players they had, like San Francisco and Washington. Now, how do you solve that problem?
Yeah.
The Redskins and the 49ers might have to cut players, and the Steelers and the Raiders would pay players far more than they ever dreamed, and they had good football teams.
Mm-hmm.
And they were low-revenue teams to boot. So it takes time and a little bit of luck. And it takes a little bit of risk-taking, too. Each side's got to take some risks.
There's no question. Calculated ones, for sure, but risks. And that is the great commissioner, formerly of the NFL, Paul Tagliabue, 1989 through 2006, 2020 Pro Football Hall of Fame inductee. You know, so many – it's very rare, Paul, that a commissioner has, even if it's a relatively short tenure, not many issues to deal with. They could be – labor strife, they could be war-related, certainly from baseball's point of view, which has been around forever. They could be cheating scandals. I mean, the pandemic, I'm trying to place this in terms of a challenge for Goodell. Is there another time in the NFL that you think was more challenging than right now, trying to sift through this medically and from a science point of view and hope we get it right?
I can't think of one. I can't think of one for the NFL, and I can't think of one for the nation. And I'm, you know, listening to historians talk about this issue and people who are familiar with the pandemic in 1918 and other episodes we've had with czars and mirrors and things like that. But one historian said this is the first time in our nation's history where every citizen has been, in effect, in combat. We go to World War II, you had several million men fighting in Europe. The rest of the society was at home, of course, tragically engaged indirectly. But here everyone's a direct potential target of this combat.
Yeah.
With this virus. That's unprecedented.
Yeah.
And we've never had a situation where everyone had to be locked down as we're doing right now. People have had to deal with blackout screens at night and worrying about bombs, but that fortune never landed on the United States in World War II. But to me, I think the historians who say this is unprecedented got it right.
For sure. What was your opinion on how the draft was conducted? What did you think about that?
You know, I thought it was very good. I think doing it was the right thing. I think it showed that you got to keep going in life, but it was respectful of the medical issues, the way that everyone was distancing and in their own little pod. Could you do something differently? You could probably have the coaches wear the same gear on draft day that they wear on game day, because I was looking at it from a distance without the voice on. I didn't recognize some of the coaches. They had Philadelphia green on there, I would have known who it was. If they had some other color on there, I would know it was Cleveland. But anyway, I thought it was terrific.
You know, Kamish, you know, we've talked to a couple of coaches and former coaches who were on the diversity committee, Tony Dungy, a couple of days ago, about the new proposal surrounding the Rooney Rule. Now, the Rooney Rule was instituted in the back end of your commissionership, 2003, and you retired in 2006. And I know what you knew the intent of the Rooney Rule was. It hasn't quite worked out like it probably was designed by Dan Rooney. How can they fix it? You know, we've seen some proposals that have come out over the last couple of days. One was tabled with draft compensation. But how can you get it back to its original thought?
Well, I think the original thought was two things, and I think this is still very important. Number one is the pipeline of coaches and focusing on the things that owners are looking for when you create that pipeline. And I'll come back to that in a minute. The second thing is making sure the owners and the club presidents and the general managers know who these people are. You know, I used to remember what Herman Edwards told me when he got the Jets job. How did he get it? He got it because Woody Johnson saw Herman speak at a league meeting when he was Herman was operating with the competition committee, and we gave him the opportunity to talk to the owners. And so that time and opportunity is really important. Yeah, and in terms of getting to know who they are, Bill Walsh was very important. Look back at history. He had Ray Rhodes on his staff. He had Dennis Green on his staff. But it wasn't just African-Americans. It was Mike Holmgren and Shanahan as well.
Yeah.
Bill was an advocate. He was an advocate for great coaches, and the color didn't matter. Just take those four examples. They all became head coaches, and he played a significant part. He spoke to me about Dennis Green. We both spoke to Roger Hendrick, who was the president of the Vikings in 92. Dennis became the second African-American head coach in the league and in modern history. So you need to get not just the pipeline, but you have to make sure that the people who are doing the hiring know who's in the pipeline. And how you do that in 2020, that's for this committee to come up with, and I'm sure they're working hard on it.
But, Paul, how does it seemingly go backwards after those great stories you just shared, or even if they don't go backwards, kind of remain unchanged? How is there no more progress from that the Herman Edwards story you talked? Like, why did it become stagnant?
Well, I don't, you know, I guess the best you can say is that it's cyclical. We had situations, I think in 96 and 98, we had Dennis Green. We had some other points of progress in the ranks, especially coordinators. And all of a sudden, we had zero. In one year, I remember writing an op-ed for the New York Times. Mm-hmm. And it turns out to be cyclical. I think there's a big difference between today in 2003, 2004. I looked at the sheet the other day. 17 of the 32 clubs have had African-American head coaches. When we did the Rooney Rule, or when I became commissioner, there were none. In 1989, Art Shell was hired that year, and Dennis Green 3 years later. Today you have 17 of the teams have hired African-American coaches, and two, Carolina Washington, have had Ron Rivera as a Hispanic. Al Davis had Tom Flores as a Hispanic. Mm-hmm. They have, you know, roughly two-thirds of the league have had coaches. Six or seven of the teams have had two African-American coaches. So whatever the issues are today, they're different from what they were in 2003. You can't just go back and say, this is what we did then, this is what we have to do now, which I think is why it's so important that the Competition Committee and the Diversity Committee and the Commissioner and the Fitzpatrick Alliance are all working on this together.
Hmm. Yeah.
Go ahead, Teague.
Yeah, now I know that you are on the Ross Initiative in Sports for Equality, RISE Board of Governors, and you guys have been on a lot of important things around communication, and particularly how COVID-19 has affected communication for the leagues and coaches and everything else. But this is really a racial equality thing, I think, in RISE's standpoint. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing with RISE and how important this work is for our communities.
Well, I think it's really important, and it's a great initiative. You know, it involves over 20 different sports organizations, professional leagues, professional organizations that are not leagues like NASCAR, college organizations. We've got a partnership with the Association of College ADs, which is over 1,500 athletic directors. And our goal is to bring people together. You know, when I became commissioner, not too many people know this. When I became commissioner, I got a letter from former President Ronald Reagan. I had met with him in New Orleans around the Super Bowl in 1990. He sent me a letter, and I'm going to read it to you in part. He says,
"Nice.
The guiding principle of our lives includes sports. When athletes put on their uniforms and take their place on the playing field, it doesn't matter whether they're rich or poor, black or white, Jew or Christian. It just matters that what they do, that they do their best." And then he said, "Wouldn't it be something if that spirit of togetherness and sportsmanship could stay with us when the games are over?" That's what RISE is about. We're trying to get beyond these divides in our society. People have more in common than they realize sometimes, and then they get mixed up by, you know, people who are saying, "Well, it's I win, you lose" type of society. It's not. It's like a football team. You're all in it together. Mm-hmm. You don't win if the offense plays well and the defense sits on its butt. You win if both parts of the team play together. That's how you win in society too, and that's what RISE is about. So what do? We do a lot of programs through the leagues and the teams with kids in communities, high school athletes in communities, police officers in communities, bringing people together and recognizing that they have more in common than what divides them. And the differences sometimes, racial differences, are irrelevant. What's important is your family. Your father was a police officer. His father was a police officer. One guy's black, one guy's Hispanic, one guy's white. Doesn't matter your color. It matters what you do with your family and in your community.
Great stuff. And he pulls a letter from Ronald Reagan. That's
fantastic.
That is great.
Hanging on the wall here in my
room. did you take it off the wall, or did you move toward the wall to read it?
Well, I might do that when I'm speaking at the Hall of Fame.
Doing soon. 2020 inductee, former commish, 1989 through 2006. Paul Tagliabue, it's an honor, sir. Nice to have you back on the show. Thank you very much.
Good to be with you. Thank you very much.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.